Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today. The task of bringing Christ to the nations is the topic of today's show with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
Hello and welcome to The Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers. I'm pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent, and I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you to come and worship with us every Sunday morning at 10:30 if you live in Southeast London. If not, please go to our directory on our webpage, lutheran.co.uk, and find the nearest Lutheran congregation to where you live. And again, I encourage you to go and worship with them on Sunday morning. We also would like to take this opportunity to thank you for your prayerful support and your financial support of Lutheran Radio UK. Without your prayers and your assistance, we wouldn't be able to continue the worldwide outreach that we do have. Today we're very pleased to welcome to the Lutheran Inquisitor the Reverend Peter Kirby. He is the European Director for Lutheran Hour Ministries, which again is a worldwide outreach proclaiming the gospel to nations around the world. Pastor Kirby, welcome to Lutheran Radio UK.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Can you tell us how the Lutheran Hour came about and how it developed into what it is today and what the scope of its operations are?
The Lutheran Hour has been produced by the International Lutheran Layman's League, which was a group of laymen of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in North America who came together to work on projects and needs of the church. At first, they started with issues related to pastors' retirement and with retiring church debt. But in 1930, they saw a need for outreach using the new medium at the time, which was radio, was just beginning to come into widespread usage in North America. And so they created this program. Dr. Walter Meyer was the first speaker. It's known as the Lutheran Hour, but it was actually never more than a half an hour of time on the radio. And it was broadcast on KFUO, the first Christian radio station in America, and then began to also be sent out to other cities where there were radio stations with large Lutheran populations. And so that's kind of been our flagship program, and it's what our ministry is known for. Currently, the Lutheran Hour is being broadcast in the United States and Canada, as well as here in Great Britain and in Jamaica and the Cayman Islands in its current form. But about 40 years ago, the organization also began looking to other countries where English was not the primary language. And so we began opening up ministry centers in other nations around the world, and that has grown to the point where we have 34 staffed ministry centers in countries in Central and South America, in Africa, in Asia, and here in Europe. And each one of those is working through media that are appropriate in their culture and context to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news about his life, death, and resurrection to people. So they use radio as well, as we do in North America, but they're also using television programming, internet. They may use some creative outreach like puppet shows, drama, ministry, dance, music, rallies, all of these just of ways of getting out that message to different populations. So sometimes it may be countrywide, sometimes they may be just working with one village or community. But we work there in culturally appropriate ways in the local language. And always we have national staff in each of those countries. We don't send out missionaries or foreign workers, but we're always recruiting local staff to do that programming.
You mentioned that you communicate in culturally appropriate ways to the local population. How do you identify these culturally appropriate ways of reaching out?
Sometimes that is forced upon us. I'm working, one of my countries is Kazakhstan, and there have been some changes in the government there where they have restricted public witness, whether by Christians or Muslims or others in their country. So they're restricting that now to just churches and mosques and other religious buildings. And that really impacts us because we have been an organization that has used the public airwaves to try to get this message out. And so in those cases, we have to adapt as the regulations change that may impact what media we can use to get that message out. But as I said, we also work with national staff in each of the countries where we have ministry centers. And so we're allowing them to help us to determine what is the best way to get that message out in each place. And so we use and depend on the creativity of our local staff to come up with ways. And sometimes it means changing the ways that we have done it in the past as new technologies come into being and become vehicles for which that gospel message can come out. Sometimes we give up on ways that we've done it traditionally, and we figure out what can be more effective in using that new technology.
Tell us a bit about your background.
I would say that I'm on my fourth career now. My original training in university was as an engineer, and I worked with power plant safety for about 5 years. And then the Lord called me to prepare to be a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And so I went to St. Louis, Missouri, where I now live, and studied there at Concordia Seminary. And while I was in seminary, we did our internship as a pastor at the Lutheran Church in Nassau, Bahamas for a year. And then my first call out of seminary, seeing that we did well in that experience, was as a church planting missionary and doing leadership development with a fledgling Lutheran church in Jamaica. And we spent 8 years there. We came back to the United States, and I served for about 8.5 years at a Lutheran parish in Illinois. And then for the last year and a half, I've been working with Lutheran Hour Ministries. During our years in Jamaica, we worked closely with Lutheran Hour Ministries to put on the radio program, the English language radio program there, and then we provided a lot of follow-up to listeners who were calling in for the booklets and Bible studies and even Bibles that were offered on the program. And that gave us contacts for our church planting work there, so it was a mutually beneficial relationship between the missionary arm of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and between Lutheran Hour Ministries. And so that really gave me a good sense of the type of approaches that they use and the materials that they use. And when I saw the opportunity to come back and work with them, that was a very good opportunity for me to apply for. So for this past year and a half, I have been serving as the regional director for Lutheran Hour Ministries in Europe and Central Asia, and also for Jamaica.
So that mission drive was there even before you were a pastor?
It has been interesting for me. I really have been a Christian my whole life, but became a lot more active in my Christian faith during my college years. And because of the organizations I was involved with at that time, I got very interested in outreach and discipleship, and have always had a strong interest in that proclamation of the Gospels overseas. And so from my college years, I had that strong interest in missions. And I think that's what led to our internship in the Bahamas and our first call in Jamaica, kind of flowering out or fleshing out that that interest in seeing the Word of God proclaimed in many lands, in many languages.
And how did things prepare you for what you are doing today in the Lutheran Hour Ministries?
All of it has been building. I mean, that's the amazing way of seeing God working in someone's life, is that He is developing us through all the experiences and adventures that we go through for the ways that He may have us serve later on. And so I see each one of these previous careers as kind of helping me to be the person that I am today. But I really have always had a heart for missions. Even when I was in the parish in Illinois, I was very concerned to try to help the growth of a mission spirit in our congregation, that we would always be looking outward to the needs of others in our community and in our nation and around the world. And so that's really led to my current position with Lutheran Hour Ministries.
What does that imply?
Well, our international ministries with these 34 countries are divided up into four world areas. We have a director for South Asia, for Africa, and Latin America. And then, as I said, I cover Europe and Central Asia, with the addition of Jamaica, not in this part of the world, but as an English-speaking field, it seemed best to have someone with my background in missionary service there in charge of that ministry. And so we are working as directors to assist the ministry that's going on in those various countries. We commit to try to make at least one visit for about a week each year with each one of our staffed ministry centers. And so I do that. I travel to support the work. We help them with budgeting because a lot of our ministry centers are heavily subsidized by our ministry in the United States. And so we help to manage budgets, help them with planning. We set very challenging goals in terms of contacts and responses and referrals to local congregations coming out of our ministry centers. And then we work to try to keep communication going so that we're helping to communicate new materials, new approaches to our ministry centers, and we're also collecting the stories of how God is working on those in those countries through those ministry centers, and bringing that information back and helping to publish it so that our supporters in North America are also aware of how God is working through their support and in different ways around the world.
What are the challenges that are peculiar to the region in which you operate?
It is interesting that God is working in different ways around the world. The history of Christianity started in Jerusalem, in that part of the world, and in Israel and Syria, and has spread out through what was Europe and the Middle East in those early years of Christianity. And so there has been a long history of Christianity in the area of the world in which I work, and yet it has also gone through its challenges. Three countries that I work in are Latvia and Russia and Kazakhstan, which were all part of the Soviet Union. And because of the influence of atheism in those countries, as mandated kind of by the promotion of communism during the Soviet years, there were a couple generations there that really had no Christianity, no religion allowed, kind of. It was made difficult to be a practicing Christian in those countries. And so I really see them coming out of that era and people being hungry for spiritual input, but quite often not having the family resources and direction which gave them a foundation in Christianity and a foundation in the church. And so we're really starting from scratch in some cases and trying to figure out how to get that message out to a population that's not used to hearing about Christianity. And then I think throughout much of the rest of Europe, there's kind of a post-Christian era going on, that Christianity has been around so long and it's kind of built into the fabric of a lot of these countries, so that people maybe consider themselves members of the church or Christians, but they're really not practicing their faith. I think of it sometimes as almost an inoculation against Christianity. It's there, it's present, it's weaved into the fabric of the culture, and yet people don't really take it seriously. And through prosperity and materialism, they're really encouraged to pursue other goals with their lives.
This is your first visit to England. So what are your impressions?
England is, to me, an amazing compilation of the old and the new. I mean, there are so much here, history-wise, and so many connections with our past in the United States that we cherish. And so you see so many institutions and things that are well-known to us, the great universities, Oxford and Cambridge, London with all of its lore, Shakespeare. All of those things are part of the background and the weave of who we are today and of our culture, in a sense. And so to come here and to get to see and experience some of these places face-to-face has just been a wonderful thing. But you can also see that there is the new here as well. So it becomes that combination of the new and the old that makes it such a unique place. And as I've traveled around this week, it's amazing to me to see how this has become a crossroads of the world, that there are so many nations and people represented here. It's just amazing as you walk around central London to see so many people speaking different languages and from so many different cultural and racial backgrounds. So seeing the opportunities to kind of influence and impact people from a wide variety of backgrounds is also amazing here in this country.
You are saying that there are big challenges, but also great opportunities?
That is correct. I think England, too, is struggling with that identity as kind of a post-Christian area, that we've had Christianity here for a long time, and yet it becomes very non-influential in the lives of people on a daily basis. So trying to figure out ways of helping them to take the claims of Jesus Christ seriously and to see that he can provide answers and solutions to many of the problems that people are struggling with, I think is one of our great challenges here. And yet, you do just get a lot of opportunities to apply some of the history here, to apply the broad mix of nationalities that God has bringing together, which in essence is a representation of the church. If you look in the book of Revelation, it says that, you know, on the last day, Christ is going to come and call people together from these many nations, and that will be a picture of heaven, is that multinational nature of the church.
It's been said that the United Kingdom and the U.S. are two completely different countries with one language in common. Do you agree?
I would agree. I think there are a lot of differences. We've had a joint history way back in the past, but we have kind of followed our own paths, and so that's brought some division and some differences today. But I think there's a great appreciation for everything British in the American culture in which I've grown up, and I think there's been similar influences here. I see a lot of familiar brands and names as I travel around the country, and so I know in a sense that we're having some impact, maybe through commercialism, here as well. And so there's a sharing back and forth because of the common language of our cultures.
Now, this question might sound a bit awkward, but what can we learn from the ways of doing church in the U.S.? And what do you think you'll be able to take back with you from your observations here?
It is a challenging question. There are blessings and challenges, I think, in the American church. We have some freedoms there, and again, some different history because of the background of a lot of the birth of our churches in North America. It set us on a different path. I think there's a little bit more separation between the church and the state in America and in North America. And that's allowed for some more independence there. Whereas here in England, I think there's been a much closer relationship between the church and the state throughout history. And it's led to some positives here. I think the school students here have a good exposure to religion as a part of their school teaching and learning, which we're not allowed to do in most schools in North America now. And yet because it's a balanced presentation of religion, it's not just Christianity, but also some other world religions that have influence here as well. So it's a different setup for outreach, and yet I think there are still valuable things that the churches can share back and forth, that some of the missionary and outreach zeal of our churches in America may be able to have a place here in the churches in England. And I think that there's things we can learn about tolerance and getting along maybe from the churches here, that our churches tend to be more segmented and separated and not have as much contact with other churches of other denominations in America.
Is there still a place for radio ministry in England?
It's interesting because, you know, people have been predicting the death of radio for a long time because of the advent of new technologies, first television and more recently the internet. And yet, I think that radio has got a place, and that a lot of people may listen to it while they're driving or while they're in their homes doing other activities. And so there is a great opportunity still for radio here in England and in many places around the world. And so it's a wonderful technology. It provides a lot of opportunities for us to get the spoken word out and for people to have the opportunity to hear that. So, yes, I believe that there still is a strong presence of radio here and a future for radio throughout Great Britain.
What is the rate of success for your work, and how do you measure it?
It varies a little bit. We are able in North America to do some measuring of the audience that we believe that our Lutheran Hour flagship program is going out to. I think they tally that we've got about 800,000 listeners to the program on many, many radio outlets throughout America and Canada. And so that continues to be a great blessing to many shut-in people who maybe can't get out to church. And we hear from truck drivers who are listening to it on the road because their work keeps them from being able to get to church services. So for many like that, if it provides an alternate worship environment, and it becomes an outreach tool. Around the world, as I said, we're also very interested in measuring the listener response. And so we do kind of track, you know, when calls or emails are coming in from those who are benefiting from our media programs, we try to track, well, who's responding because of a radio broadcast that they heard. And then we're using that to help us to measure what are the most effective media tools in each one of these countries in which we're working. So we're trying to always make sure that as some things become less effective as means of proclaiming the gospel and other things become more cost effective, that we're not locked into doing the same things, but that we can be flexible enough to adapt between technologies and always be finding the most effective ways and the most cost effective ways to get that message out.
Thank you for being this year's speaker at the ELCE's Congregational Life Conference. You spoke of church growth in the light of the passage from Isaiah chapter 5, verse 2, as a toilsome work of felling trees and clearing stones, even before we can begin to till the soil and finally plant a vineyard. Can you expand on this?
Yeah, the process that I talked about is one of the scriptural views of the growth of the church, that is this agricultural picture of planting the seed in soil. And I said if you were starting with a forest, that you would have to work through a number of steps to get to the point of being able to have tillable soil in which to plant. And it's a picture for me of how it is that people come to faith, that a number of processes have to go on in their lives. They may have natural objections to the claims of God or the claims of Christ, and so we may have to address their objections and remove rocks or take out tree roots and things that keep them from being good soil for that word of faith to be implanted in their lives. And so it's both about the process that God calls each of us to be involved in the lives of others around us. But it's also a story, I think, too, about how God is working behind the scenes, that ultimately He is the one who is taking people along this process of, you know, felling trees, removing rocks, tilling up the soil, planting the seed, watering it, and then seeing the harvest. And we may be involved at one or more of those stages along the lives of people becoming Christians. But God is directing that whole process. So, and I don't know if, I mean, you could probably apply it on a, you know, a church-wide basis to say that this is something that the Evangelical Lutheran Churches of England are involved in as congregations, but it's really more about where everyone that we're reaching out to or interacting with as individuals is in a process in their relationship with God, in their own relationship. And so we kind of try to recognize where they're at and direct the message in a way that addresses them at the point that they're at. So if they're struggling with some of these these tough questions, these awkward questions that Pastor Samyats is dealing with in his program, that we can, you know, do our best to try to answer their questions and help them to work through some of those things that keep them from addressing the real deep spiritual needs that they have.
What words of encouragement would you like to say to all pastors and church workers as they strive to proclaim the gospel?
It's challenging, always to be involved in that process. We would like to see people respond. We know as Christians how much Christ has done for each one of us as we reflect on our lives, that he has forgiven our sins and taken them away from us, that he gives us a life of peace and purpose. And it's kind of like having a disease and being able to be given the cure for that disease. We have received that, and we rejoice in what Christ offers to each one of us who are in the faith. And that's something that we want to also be able to pass on to others. And so my encouragement to those pastors and our church members that are involved in that, in the lives of their family and friends and neighbors, is to not give up, to keep proclaiming the message, to be persistent in that without causing offense if we can do it, but to make sure that we're keeping that before people, and to trust that God is working. We know from the scriptures, he says in Hebrews 4:15, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, that God works through his word. That he also says in Isaiah 55 that his word will not return to him void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. And so those kind of passages are encouragements to us that as we speak that word of God in the lives of others, that God will bear fruit through it, that he is working in the lives of people to help them to work through their objections and their challenges and to come to faith. And that God desires all men to be saved. So those promises and those encouragements from the scripture continue to give us motivation to keep planting that word in the lives of others around us.
Pastor Kirby, thank you for being our speaker at the ELCE's Congregational Life Conference and for your partnership in the gospel. Please convey our gratitude to our brothers and sisters in Christ at Lutheran Hour Ministries.
Well, it's wonderful to have a sister ministry that's also committed to using radio, and now with the advances in technology, even the internet, to get that message out in places that were unexpected, I think, as you envision putting this ministry together and beginning it, that it is reaching listeners across a wide spectrum of countries in various places and cultures. And so we pray that we can continue to support the work through the provision of programming. We ask the Lord's blessing upon you in the work that you're doing, and know that you are in our prayers, and all those listeners who are out there hearing the message, that we are concerned for them. And so we just do what we can to walk alongside you and support and lift up the ministry and prayer that you are doing.
Now from here, you are traveling to Kazakhstan. What challenges await you there?
It is a different place, and yet as I travel around the world, I'm amazed how the interconnection of our media is bringing kind of a similar spirit in many places. And so you see a lot of the same dress, you see a lot of the same culture now as I travel around, and many of the same challenges in each of these places of the church trying to establish itself and working in a sometimes hostile world against those forces that try to repress our message. So in Kazakhstan, one of the biggest challenges that we have is just a different language. About two-thirds of the population there is ethnic Kazakh and speaks the Kazakh language, but you have a very large Russian-speaking population as well. So those are the two primary languages that we are reaching out with in the gospel in Kazakhstan. So I'm trying to learn a little Russian now. I know just a few words in Kazakh. So the biggest challenge for me is being able to communicate clearly with our staff there and help them. It's one of the ministry centers where we don't have any English speakers, and so I have to work through translation when I go there.
Do you have any concluding thoughts?
Just my personal thanks to the Christian Life Committee here to allow me to come and present some thoughts on outreach and encouragement to outreach to the member of these English Lutheran congregations, and also for the opportunity to interact a little bit and learn more about the ministry of Lutheran Radio UK. It's a great blessing to the citizens of Great Britain, and I think also to those English speakers who are tuning in around the world. So we do keep you in our prayers.
Pastor Kirby, thank you for being our guest on the Lutheran Inquisitor.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.